Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me this week on this podcast. This week's episode is going to focus on the power of prayer. And the reason I wanted to tackle this topic this week is because of all of the chaos, sadness that's going on in the world. And I feel like prayer is super helpful. And I know there's this whole meme and not even just this meme on, you know, thoughts and prayers. Action is very powerful. And I think action is necessary right now in the world. But I did want to talk about prayer because on an individual level, we sometimes need that conversation with God, as you know, to stabilize us, to help us through these very difficult moments. So the first thing I'm going to do is just address prayer as it's traditionally defined. And then I will shift over into a very different type of prayer that's been reimagined by the New Thought movement or the religious science movement. So as we all understand it, for the most part, prayer is a mode of requesting. It is us asking, begging, maybe even beseeching God for something, for some sort of assistance. Most of us, when we're praying to God, it is not because we're happy. You know, most of us, when we're praying on our knees, it's like, God, please freaking help me right now. I need your guidance. I need your help. I need this, that, the other. Very traditional prayer, right? And it's something that we're even taught as kids. Like, this is the way you go to God. Now, I would also say that as a kid, I was taught, I can't remember the name of this prayer. It's driving me crazy because I have the name of the prayer in my book. But as a kid, I think some of us remember this particular prayer was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Which is totally, you know, morbid in a way. But I remember, you know, saying that every night before I went to bed. But then also, as you are attending church for the most part, you're taught the Lord's Prayer, which is defined as the most powerful prayer, right? This is the one where you really go to God. And this prayer is supposed to be extremely effective. So most of us, with the exception of these two prayers, I would say, we're usually asking for something. There's usually a request. And I think that this whole idea of requesting in the form of a prayer does come from Christianity as a religion. So I'm going to read you some quotes from the Bible because these quotes are very telling. And if we kind of go back and reinterpret some of the scripture about prayer under a very metaphysical framework, I think we'll find that there were some hints in there for us. Okay, so first, I am just going to pull a prayer from the book of James. And this quote declares, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective," which is interesting to me because implicit within that is the idea and is the declaration that only a righteous man's prayer is powerful and effective, meaning that those of us who have sinned, those of us who may have made a lot of mistakes, our prayers do not carry the same power as the righteous man, which not something that, you know, I agree with. Also, what I found in the Bible in terms of prayer, I did find that the Bible really urges us the following. And there's a quote that I believe comes from Ephesians. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for essentially everyone." Okay, so it's telling us to pray for everything. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So again, it's the whole idea of ask, request, and don't stop praying. Like, don't stop praying all the time. Okay, so the other thing about prayer in the Bible is that the power of prayer is not the result of the person praying, right? Rather, the power resides in the God who's being prayed to, right? So, for example, in First John, we find this particular quote where it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him." Which is interesting, right? The statement is that we already know that it is ours. And that's not traditionally the way you approach prayer. Most people, when we pray, we undermine our prayers. We don't pray with that conviction of knowing that it is, you know, thy will be done. This is already done. So it's kind of powerful going back and revisiting some of the these, I would say, scriptures that present to us perceptions of prayer, or even definitions of prayer. Okay, I think I saw another one, which I thought was fantastic. So Jesus, in the Bible, he essentially rebukes people who pray using repetitions, which I remember that even God, years ago, I was going back to revisit, you know, the New Testament for writing stuff in my book. And I remember reading about that. And it's kind of interesting to me because most people just consistently recite and wrote the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over. And that is the prayer. But he's saying that that's not necessary. Don't do that. Go to God with your heart. What are your true needs? Use your true language. The message and the prayer from your heart is more powerful than a repetitious prayer with no feelings and no emotion. And that's essentially heartless, right? So he's saying that that repetition is not necessarily that powerful, nor is it that important. So in the Bible, we see many outcomes of prayer. So we have full accounts describing the power of prayer in various situations. So we see in the Bible, the power of prayer has overcome enemies. We see that in Psalms. Prayer has conquered death. We see that in Kings. It's brought healing. It's defeated demons. God, through prayer, essentially opens eyes, changes hearts, heals wounds, and grants wisdom. So the power of prayer should never be underestimated, because it really, I guess you could say, really draws on the glory and even the might of God, the universe. So one last thing I did want to kind of add that I found in terms of quotes in the Bible, it comes from Philippians. So this quote is, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So we see the same themes here, right? This whole idea of it being a request, petition, 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 ask. But the best thing about this quote to me that I found very telling and useful is, number one, the first declaration, "Do not be anxious about anything," which is beautiful because it's a reminder that we're always helped, that we're always going to be taken care of, and that we're never alone. But the other addition here that you find that you're not finding in other scriptures is that with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So why is there this requirement of thanksgiving? Are we thankful because we think God has heard us, or that he's listening to us? Are we thankful because we know that it is already done? Super powerful. Okay. What else did I want to say about this? So in terms of prayer itself, it is important that, yes, you know, you continuously give thanks during the prayer. In that trilogy of that book called The Secret, one of the books is called Magic. I've recently read this. And while, quote unquote, performing our own individual magic, there's a common message that she repeats every single page. And that is the message of gratitude, is the message of thanksgiving. Because the message of thanksgiving, that the act of saying thanks, is part of the magic of being able to bring forth, to call forth the thing that you have been trying to create, or to even call forth the thing that you have been requesting to God. So thanksgiving is a very powerful element in the act of prayer itself. But also, as you'll see, not only is thanksgiving, mentioned here in this one scripture, I think that religious science went back and looked at some of these scriptures to see that that was kind of an element in prayer, and they co-opted that and they put that in their new form of prayer. But thanksgiving is super important, and this is something, and I think her name is Rhonda Burns, put in the whole book The Magic, because it is the act of gratitude, and that gratitude is a confirmation of your knowing that it is done as it, and so it is. So that's really important to add. Okay. Praying with a friend or praying with friends or some sort of prayer group is super important. I have a friend who has been going through hell, God, I would say, for years. And the one thing I recently told her, and she's an intuitive as well, but she doesn't really, I don't think she really prays from the heart. I think she's one of those who recites the Lord's Prayer and that is it, even though she has a lot, you know, to converse with God about. One thing I recently told her was to find a prayer group, to really find a prayer group. There's something really powerful about praying with other people. And I'm not saying like you all get on your knees together and beg God for money. What I'm really saying essentially is that your energy is magnified. I feel like that prayer gains momentum and gains speed. And I don't know how that works on an intellectual sense, because I don't understand how energy really works that well. But I think that the energy is amplified in group prayer. Now, I remember reading in the Bible where Jesus says, when two or more are gathered in my name, like everything is possible, it will be done. Which doesn't necessarily mean they have to be gathered in his name. But it is that two or more gathered, right, through the act of prayer, through spiritual practice. I think that there is more of clarity. And again, there's something more, like the energy is super magnified behind that. So if you're somebody who has been going through so much and you've been praying and praying and praying and you've not been seeing like the outcome and you feel like you're alone and you feel like it's a one-sided conversation, which most of us really feel like it is, find a group and ask to be led to that group. That's the most important step. Ask above, please guide me to the right group, because you want to go to a group whose energy, the energy of the people of the group, resonates at your vibratory level as well. All right, so now we're going to kind of shift gears here and move into re-envisioning, if you will, prayer. So if prayer doesn't resonate with you because of the traditional definition of prayer, which is, again, begging God, not necessarily begging, but asking God for something, then you might want to reconsider prayer under this, I guess you could say, religious science viewpoint. You can also, it's also kind of classified as coming from the new thought spiritual community or what have you. But this new prayer is called affirmative prayer. It's a form of prayer, or I guess you could say a metaphysical technique that is focused on a positive outcome rather than a negative situation like usually most of us do. So for instance, if a person is experiencing some form of illness, they would focus the prayer on the desired state of perfect health and affirm this desired intention as if it's already happened, rather than identifying the illness and then asking God for help to eliminate it. So again, it's a different it's a shift in the focus. So again, it's a focus on the positive outcome as opposed to continuously focusing on the negative situation, which is kind of what we do in traditional prayer. So you'll hear affirmative prayer called many things. It's kind of classified as scientific prayer. It's also under what's called spiritual mind treatment, or simply, I believe it's called the treatment, which was, I believe, created by Ernest Holmes. So within New Thought / religious science organizations, centers, and churches. I would say the foundational logic of this form of prayer is really based on the belief that God is unlimited and plays no favorites, that God has created spiritual laws that are both as mysterious and as constant as scientific principles, let's say like gravity. And therefore, if one's prayer is correctly and diligently focused, it will be answered consistently, which is interesting. So one thing about this, which I love, that is kind of stated within affirmative prayer in itself, is that the whole idea or the whole belief that God plays no favorites. And if you go back to the Bible, again, in the book of James, the prayer of a righteous man is the one that's effective. But coming from religious science / new thought or metaphysics, if you will, God plays zero favorites. And God has created spiritual laws that are constant. So it's very important to kind of look at those, I guess you can say, redefinitions of prayer. Okay. So the other thing about affirmative prayer is, rather than begging or even, again, kind of beseeching God, I would say that this method involves connecting with the Spirit of God within instead of without, and asserting positive beliefs about the desired outcome. So affirmative prayer is essentially the same method of prayer that Jesus taught when he said this: "So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Boom, done. It is already yours. Believe it already. Know it, claim it, declare it. It is already yours. So, for example, if somebody were to pray in the traditional sense about, let's say, employment, they usually would say, "Please, dear God, please help me find a job." but by contrast, an affirmative prayer might be, "I am now guided to my right and perfect job," right? Very different. One is, you know, a request, a desperate request. The other one is, I've already claimed it. And I already know that it has already been answered. So very, very different approach. So affirmative prayer really reflects the certainty that we are each being led to our highest good despite any temporary appearances. So metaphysicians believe that thoughts transmit magnetic energy, and this energy attracts other energy of the frame of the same frequency. I think we all know that. So whether you are conscious of it or not, your thoughts are transmitting energy that is attracting more of the same. When you remain focused on your intentions, you will draw those things into your life. So this is very similar to what do we call law of attraction. We all kind of know this now. So there's an author by the name of Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's written so many amazing books on the angels, scrying, like Black Mirror scrying, all kinds of stuff. But she does have a book called Prayer Works. And in this book, she states particularly about affirmative prayer that it sets into motion the forces that enable us to manifest what we pray for, which is interesting again, because again, we're kind of responsible here, right? For the things that we're praying for. It's like we were taking ownership of it as opposed to putting it on God's shoulders. So she adds that prayer isn't effective when it is accompanied or followed by negative thinking or the endless repeating of affirmations. We have to put power and intensity into our thought, change our thought, and believe in the guidance we are receiving. If we spend energy on negative beliefs and negative feelings, we're going to get negative results, even if we and others pray daily. So for example, if you pray for a job and then complain to others that you have no job or can't find one, then you're undermining your whole prayer. So by using an affirmative prayer approach, you can visualize and plan for the future with faith that the power of God is continually blessing our lives with unlimited possibilities. So you could kind of say that affirmative prayer leads us to an awakening of our spiritual selves. So in faith, we pray giving thanks in advance, okay? Giving thanks in advance already that the universe is meeting our every need. So again, very different than the traditional sense of prayer. So the biggest point that Rosemary Ellen Guiley makes from prayer works is this whole notion of undermining your own prayer. And we all, I think, do this. For example, again, if you've been looking for a job and you get on your knees and you pray to God to help you, please find a job. You have to pay your bills. You have to pay this and that. How am I going to do this? God, please help me. And after we pray, usually more often than not, the day later, we'll call our friends, our family, our mom, dad, sister, brother, whoever, and start complaining that we don't have it. So you are, in essence, undermining the power of that prayer and just undermining the entire prayer. Okay, so moving back on to affirmative prayer. So really, affirmative prayer declares a spiritual truth. So for example, going back to the Bible, when Jesus speaks the word, his healing statement was declared with great power and conviction, for example. He didn't say, oh, please God, let Lazarus be healed. You never see him like that in the Bible, right? Rather, he prays with a declaration of knowingness and conviction, saying essentially, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes back from the dead. Boom. Instantaneously. Affirmative prayer. All right. So affirmative prayer is a powerful method for setting the creative process into motion. So it's a very direct, focused, and organized method using 5 steps in particular to get your desired outcome. Now, there's something I do need to say here because the way this sounds, it sounds very materialistic. Even I've heard a lot of criticism of the book The Secret and even the Law of Attraction because they're very overt materialistic overtones to that. And with affirmative prayer, it doesn't necessarily say this, but this is my understanding, is that, and even with traditional prayer, that you can do the prayer. However, whether you get your desired outcome or not is dependent on a number of things, okay? Yes, it is dependent upon your own conviction and beliefs, but it is also dependent upon your blueprint, your life, and your life lessons. Is this for your highest good right now? Maybe it is not. Maybe it is about timing, etc. Right? So that's just something I felt like I wanted to point out because it could sound very materialistic. So now I want to talk to you about these 5 steps from affirmative prayer, or how to do affirmative prayer from these, essentially, these 5 steps. So the first step in this prayer is called recognition. So you're going to begin every affirmative prayer with the recognition that there is one life, which is really the life that is God. So you may call God by another name that makes it clear and personal to you, such as spirit, universe, I guess you can say all that is, the force, source energy, infinite mind, whatever you want to call it is completely fine. So just remember that this is your prayer, and it should begin with a statement, recognizing God. Now, these are just some examples that you can use, but again, you can craft this yourself and create your own recognition statement. But here are just some examples for the beginning of this type of prayer. So you could say something like, I know there is only one power and one life, and that is the life of God, or I know there is an infinite spirit that I call the universe. What else? I recognize the one as the power, the presence, and the love of all that is. Just utilize whatever works for you. So that's step one. Step two is called unification. So in the unification step of affirmative prayer, you have to affirm that the same spirit that God is, we are. So we essentially are one with God. We're God. So we are, I guess you could say, divine emanations of the Most High. Since God is really all there is, there can be nothing outside of God, and no one is separate from God. So that's super important in this whole idea of unification. And so we realize and declare our oneness as spiritual beings. So after you do the recognition step, you need to declare your unity with all that is, which is God. So again, you have to create this, statement of unity. So one example is, I know that I am one with God. Simple. You could also say, I recognize my unity with all that is. So those are just a couple of ideas that you could use. Okay. So step three is called realization. So you're speaking into reality your desired good, right? So in the realization step, you want to realize the qualities or attributes of God, which you want to embrace within yourself to call forth into your own awareness. So these are the divine qualities inherent within you, which you want to become more conscious of. So to realize is to make real. And so during this step, you might want to say something as examples, such as, I know that the divine qualities of peace, power, and wisdom are already within me. I embrace them now. Or you can say something like, all that God is, I am. I step forth into my true divinity, saying yes to my prosperity, guidance, order, health, and love. Those are just little examples that you could use. Okay, step four is the step of thanksgiving. Super important, right? So an attitude of gratitude is essential in establishing a new intention for your life. And giving thanks, you're essentially declaring that it is already done. You're very grateful for knowing that it is already done in the mind of God. So in this Thanksgiving step, you might want to say something like, I am so grateful for the revelation of this spiritual truth in my life. Or you could say, it is with great gratitude that I accept this transformation of consciousness for myself. Or I'm grateful for my perfect health. I am grateful for, you know, whatever it is, wholeness, well-being. Just remember to feel the gratitude into this step, okay? So the last step is going to be called release. All right. So in this step of your affirmative prayer, you essentially are going to be letting go and you're going to be letting God. We've all heard that. So you are turning your affirmative declaration of truth, which has been this entire process. You're turning this over to God. All right. Or a spirit or whatever you essentially want to call it. So it's really important that you release this prayer, because as long as you hold on to it, nothing can actually take place. So release really is also just an act of trusting. You release your prayer trusting really in the, I guess you could say, all goodness of God. And you release it knowing that truly it is done. So during the releasing step, you could say something like, I release, I let go. I let the spirit do its perfect work. Or what I usually say is, and so it is. Amen. Done. So again, those steps are recognition that God is, unification, which is the I am, one with God, the realization, speaking into reality your desired good, and thanksgiving, being very grateful for something already being done. And the last step is releasing, letting go and letting God, and really letting go, letting God. If you do this affirmative prayer, all five steps, and then a day later you undermine it by negating everything that you said, then it almost is like canceling it out to a certain degree, okay? So you want to make sure that you follow those steps to a T. Now, I personally think that through the releasing step, one thing you could create is called a God box. If you've never heard of this, I can't remember the author, but I believe the book is called The God Box. So whenever you're anxious about anything, whenever you have a bunch of debilitating worries or concerns, there's this concept that you can write on a sheet of paper your concern and literally fold that piece of paper and put it into a box that you've created called your own personal God box, so it can be as big as you want it to be. And then you drop it in, and the actual physical act of doing it itself releases it. It's like you are actually literally handing that problem over to God. The same thing with the prayer. You're handing that prayer over to be taken care of by the all that is, trusting that when you're dropping it into the box, it's already done. So that's something to kind of consider adding just in general in life, but also for affirmative prayer. Okay, so the very last thing I wanted to talk about was this whole idea of your prayer is not getting answered. And I think this is why people sometimes stop praying, or maybe they used to pray before, but they never saw a turnaround in their prayers. They always felt like their prayers weren't answered. Therefore, what was the point? Because sometimes it can really feel like a one-way freaking conversation. And I understand. I was about to say I've been there, but sometimes I'm there in the present. And I think that's why it's important to really re-envision prayer in itself with trust. But I also think of re-envisioning prayer as an actual conversation with God, instead of it being just one way, instead of just, vomiting all your fears to God direct. Sometimes I think about getting, or creating some sort of feedback loop, because if we were able to get a sign or some sort of feedback, knowing that God or whatever you want to call it, all that is, really hurt us, it would help us to kind of build our spiritual muscles. It really would. It would help us to build our trust and our faith. And we are humans. And to be a human, sometimes we need to see to believe. And I know that you're supposed to believe and then you'll see. Yes, that is true as well. But it's our natural inclination to ask for a sign. We need the sign sometimes. And when you're really in the thick of a problem and you're praying to God but not seeing a resolution, if you were to get a sign knowing that you were heard, it would really help. And in a personal sense, sometimes, when I sit down and talk to God with my guides, because I always invite my guides to be there, even though they're probably like, oh my God, this prayer again. sometimes I want that reassurance that I've been heard, because again, it feels very one way. And in order to get that reassurance, sometimes what I'll do is ask for a sign that I have at least been heard, not necessarily of the actual outcome, but that I have been heard, that God knows my needs, God knows my pain, God sees what's going on around me, etc. And you can actually tell this creative force, give him options. So for example, you can say, okay, I just need to know that this prayer was heard. Could you please show me a blue flower? Could you show me a rainbow? Could you show me, something very specific, like, I'm just trying to think of something. Could you show me a purple pineapple? I don't know, something, super specific, and it will manifest. It will come to you. Once you see that sign, you have been heard, and that is so helpful. There's nothing more uplifting than knowing that your prayers have been heard and the answer is coming in some form. But most of us, like I said, most of us have a tendency to undermine our own prayers by complaining about what we don't have over and over and over again, even though we've prayed about it 100 times. For some of us, we wonder, well, why the hell aren't we getting an answer? Sometimes the answer is really just no. And that's so hard, especially when we're in, when we're hitting rock bottom, when we need super, super help. And sometimes the answer is not right now, not at this moment. So patience is super important. And there was a lesson. There was a lesson for you during the time it takes, you know, between the prayer and the outcome. There is something in there for you to learn. And it's hard to be appreciative of that as you're going through it. But once the outcome appears in whatever form or fashion, and maybe it comes in the way you don't expect, or maybe it comes in a way that the answer is not the desired outcome, right? Whatever it is, there is a lesson for everything. And I truly do believe that. I also think sometimes when our prayers, we think our prayers aren't answered, but they actually are. And maybe we just don't understand the answer yet. And that's something that it's hard for me to even explain, because even in my own life, you know, as somebody who is an avid prayer, sometimes I don't understand the answer. And when I don't understand, I always ask, you know, I do a lot of prayers for understanding, and I don't always necessarily get it. And sometimes that answer or the understanding of what happened is not going to come for years. And it is hard to say that, because I feel like, again, our time is short on this planet and it is of the essence. But I know it is all for learning. One thing I wanted to end this on, an experience that I had a couple of years ago. So these past, in a personal sense, these past 4 to 5 years have been very unexpected, very hard. And I have prayed more in these 5 years than I prayed even being at church, you know, 5 days a week as a kid. And very unexpectedly, one time I was praying on my knees for just to talk to God. I usually, when I pray, I always pray for understanding, because it's very important to me, because for me, peace comes through understanding. And I don't remember what the exact nature of the prayer was, but the one thing I do know is I was on my knees and I had my eyes closed, because I always pray with my eyes closed, and for the most part. And after I ended the prayer, a vision started to appear. And it was the vision of a woman, and it was me. However, my face looked different, but it was me. And I was older, and I was on my knees with my hands in the traditional prayer, you know, way. And I was really praying, like I could see it on my face. And when the prayer was over, all of a sudden, this light coming up from above shined down on me. And it was so bright and brilliant. And this light was gold, the brightest gold. And it was almost like rain droplets of light showering over me. And I'll never forget that, because it was so powerful, but it was telling. It just showed me, like, when we pray, we really are not alone, and that we are really, really heard. And, you know, the other side always has your best interests of heart. When you really put your heart into it, and you're really seeking guidance and help and understanding, God's heart, eyes, ears, everything is always available, listening and watching and hearing. And again, I know that it sounds like I'm referring to God as a man. That's not what I'm trying to do here, but it's an easier way of understanding right now. But that energy is there, and it is all that is. Therefore, it is always listening. It always feels. It always sees. It's the all-seeing eye for the most part, right? So I just wanted to end this on a story, because if you feel like your prayers have been falling on deaf ears, it is not the case. It is just that there is something, there is an important lesson for you in the situation that you're in. But I feel like, again, since we're humans, we kind of want to know, really know, that we are being heard. And I think that asking for that sign is totally all right to do so. Thank you guys for listening to this episode today on prayer. I hope that it was interesting in general. I know prayer can be a little boring for some people, but also just reimagining what prayer is for yourself. And, you know, I know that throughout this whole conversation, I did refer as praying to God, but it is not necessarily that you need to pray to God. Usually for myself, like I said, I ask my angels and my guides to join me as I pray to the energy above that is part of me. And that is usually what I do. So whatever name you need to call it, whatever name whatever energy resonates with you, I say have that, strike up that conversation. It's super important to communicate. That's how we get understanding. That's how we gain the knowledge. So yes, those are my last 2 cents. Thank you guys for listening so much. If you have any questions, please feel free to send your questions my way and I'll try to answer them on an episode. Also, please rate this podcast so that other people can find it. It's super helpful. And I'm very deeply appreciative that you're listening to this episode. Everybody, please have a wonderful week or weekend whenever you're listening. Take care.